are listening to
Cannibal.
Hi, hello up here. We were in here earlier having dinner with our friend Sam I Am.
You mean Will I Am?
Oh.
Is that what you call him? That's weird. I don't like that. No, listen, anyway, we were here and Will I Am thinks he left his phone at the table, so we need to check the table.
I'd like to check the table for the phone, if you don't mind.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at me.
We need to check the table for the phone.
Fine. This way.
Wow, I just wasted half my life. Well, that was just a big, fat waste of time. Thank you for all of your help, and I am being sarcastic.
Hello there, everyone. I'm your host, Lady Madonna, and you're listening to Camera Roll. Today we have a very special show. So stay tuned for a lot of surprises. And remember, you can put all your comments, requests, and everything you like to tell us on our Facebook page. You just go ahead and type facebook.com/camera roll or on our Twitter account, that's @LadyMadonna_DUC. So stay with us, we're gonna have a great time today.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Oh my God.
I am extremely talented.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. He wants her to leave. That's why he puts her on the plane.
I don't think she wants to stay.
Of course she wants to stay. Wouldn't you rather be with Humphrey Bogart than the other guy?
Hey, so the other day I was looking up videos on YouTube, and I just happened to bump into the teaser trailer for Snow White and the Huntsman. And here with me is Elisa.
Hi guys, how you doing?
And so, well, you know, there's two movies coming out about Snow White.
There are, and Hollywood is very excited for it.
Yeah, and well, actually, I am excited, and then again, not so much, because on one side we have a movie we don't know much about that. The only, like, interesting thing is that Julia Roberts is the evil queen. And the other, like, the girl who's Snow White and the girl who's the guy who's the prince, they're both been in one or two movies, but they're not really well known. And,
right. Yeah.
But the story looks really good. And I saw the pictures, and everything's so colorful and fairy tale-like, you know, like, kind of Alice in Wonderland, like Tim Burton's, like, really fairy-like.
I think it's very interesting. We're kind of on a fantasy fairy tale kick right now. I think people are finally starting to get over the vampires. And yeah. We're moving on to the next big thing, which is fairy tales. You know, we do have two fairy tale shows on NBC and ABC.
Yeah.
And then we have these movies. And it's very interesting that we actually have two Snow White movies coming out because, as everybody knows, Snow White was the first original Disney movie.
Yeah.
So it was a very big deal. And so we haven't seen a lot of her recently.
Yeah, seems like no one seems to kind of like to touch Snow White because the Disney movie is pretty epic.
Exactly.
So no one wants to touch that. And, well, the other movie, it has a bigger budget. It's going to be made by Universal Studios. Charlize Theron is going to be the evil queen, and she's awesome. And Chris Hemsworth, the movie's called Snow White and the Huntsman. And Chris Hemsworth, he's Thor.
Yes.
He's going to be the Huntsman. And up to there, everything looks pretty well. Pretty
and then
awesome.
You find out who Snow White's going to be.
And she's Kristen, Stewart. She sucks. But anyway, I haven't, like, you know how when you load the YouTube videos promo, an ad comes up?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the teaser trailer for that movie. And I was about to skip the trailer because I don't want to know anything about that. But then I remember I promised our listeners to get them everything and anything that came up on that quarter. So I saw the trailer and Okay, so the trailer at first, it focused, like, the trailers, when you see the trailer, you know who's going to be the main focus of the film. And it's going to be the queen. Like, the trailer is, the voiceover is Charlize Theron. And I think three quarters of the time of the trailer is the queen and the huntsman. And Kristen Stewart is just in one, like, flash, like, oh, there she is. Oh, she's Snow White. Oh, yeah, who's the first of them all? Not you. And yeah, and then the trailer. So the trailer actually looks pretty epic because I think they realize that Kristen Stewart, she's going to call into a younger audience. Like, Twilight fans are going to go see the movie just because of her.
Exactly.
But I think they're not relying too much on her.
Which is probably a good thing since she can't act.
But then again,
but she has such a huge fan base behind her that's what they're betting on for this movie.
And you know, the movie I read an interview or something, and they are betting on making a movie more like Lord of the Rings movie, like war, epic, Middle Ages. Actually, if you guys want to go and look up the pictures, she wears a...
She has in full armor, doesn't she?
Full armor. Yeah. But you know what the sad thing is? The armor is just identical to the one that Alice wears in Alice in Wonderland.
I was just about to say that.
Not as shiny, so it's actually not an improvement of the armor. It's just, oh, that armor looks cool. Let's put it on this girl because she sucks. So, yeah.
Well, and they're trying to play up the female heroes are just as epic as male heroes. You don't always have to have a Prince Charming.
But I'm not sure how that's going to work because, you know, the whole plot of the story is... So the queen... actually, the magic mirror looks pretty cool because it's kind of... It has an effect and, like, a dude comes out of the mirror.
Right.
It's pretty creepy, but it's cool. And the queen, she can do magic and stuff that you kind of know, but she looks really great. But the thing is, she hires the huntsman to kill Snow White. But there's this kind of a resistance movement against the queen and the huntsman, even though the queen doesn't know it, he's kind of like the lead of the movement. So the huntsman is going to train Snow White to go into battle against the queen. So it's pretty weird because, you know, Snow White, come on, she bites an apple and almost dies. That's the only thing she does.
Yeah, I do know how I feel about it, but it's weird. I have absolutely no interest.
Yeah.
And so I actually haven't seen the trailer. I'm
still going to see it because, you know, I love the way Charlize Theron acts.
This is true. And she and Chris Hemsworth would be worth seeing it. However, I don't think I could suffer through 2 hours of Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So probably I'm going to wait till it's on Netflix or something like that.
There you go. Yeah, I would never pay to see it.
Yeah. So, well, let's move on. Actually, I'm pretty excited about the next new news bite. And so last week I told our listeners that the Oscar, you know, the production of the Oscar, the Academy Awards, they're already looking for the host.
Well, because we've had a little mishaps with that.
Yeah, last year. So they were going a more traditional way, and they were talking to Eddie Murphy about doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was almost set in stone. And last week, I think Wednesday, Eddie Murphy bailed out on the project.
Yes, he did.
And he said,
it's very shocking.
I'm not doing this. And so we had one day, or the rest of Wednesday, a lot of speculation who was going to do this. And everyone that's a Billy Crystal fan, like myself, we've been saying that he should do another show because he's pretty epic doing the Oscars. And so Thursday, I follow Billy Crystal on Twitter. And he tweeted, and I'm going to read it. I am doing the Oscars so the young woman in the pharmacy will stop asking my name when I pick up my prescriptions. I'm really looking forward to the show.
I take it back, okay? I take it back.
You can't take it back.
Why not?
Because it's already out there.
Oh, geez, what are we supposed to do? Call the cops, it's already out there.
So, Billy Crystal is one of my favorite actors. He's a really great comedian. And so that's done. He's signed and he is doing the Oscars.
This is really exciting. Although I'm really sad because I really, really, really wanted Neil Patrick Harris to host the Oscars. He did such a great job with the Tonys this year.
Yeah, but you see, actually, someone, I don't remember who, made an interview with him. And he said
he didn't want to do it.
He was making an anti-campaign.
Exactly. So I support him in that decision, and it was really good of him to put his foot down and say, you know, I really don't want to do it, so that way he didn't get stuck in a deal.
Yeah.
But it just would have been amazing.
But you
it's
know,
NPH.
Then again, we do have Neil Patrick Harris is what, 33 years old, 35?
Yeah, he's still young.
He's not even 40. So we still have him. We're going to have him for the long run. And Billy Crystal, he's not going to die tomorrow, but he's already come into his 60s, I believe. He's 50-something, I think. So this is going to be his 9th time hosting the Oscars.
What's the record off the top of your head? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's Steve Martin, but I'm not sure. No, wait. That was Saturday Night Live. Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin. Actually, Alec Baldwin's done more, but Steve Martin counts reruns, so Steve Martin is on top. So, I don't know which one's the record, but if it's not Billy Crystal, it's probably Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
Or someone, you know, I don't know if in the 50s or something, maybe it was the same guy, like Jimmy Stewart or something like that.
This is definitely something to look up later.
I'm going
to
look up and I'm going to put it on Facebook. By the way, everything you want to, there are several links on our Facebook page if you guys want to check that out. And well, then again, even though Neil Patrick Harris would have been awesome, I didn't like the idea of Eddie Murphy doing the Oscars.
No, I don't like his kind of
humor. He's not really funny.
He's not funny anymore. He used to be okay. Being the key word in that sentence. But he has just gone downhill over the past decade or so.
Even his last movie, they say, like, I read some reviews and they said Murphy was okay, but the movie was not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Billy Crystal, he's a safe bet. And I guess that's what the Oscar people are trying to do. Because after last year's, I mean, Anne Hathaway, she's awesome. She's pretty funny. And James Franco, when he's on his 5 senses, he can be pretty funny. But, you know, if you're doing, you know, it was awful. I mean, they're pretty good. They do good improv. But if you don't stick to the script and you get 2 people and one of them is not reliable,
right. You can't expect one person to carry all the weight.
Yeah, and that's what we saw. Like, Anne Hathaway trying to say a joke, and then James Franco just cracking up because he was other place.
Well, and that's completely. Why Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin was so hysterical
when they hosted. Oh, that was awesome. They were awesome.
Because they're both funny individually, and then together they had fantastic chemistry.
And they are professional about it.
Yes, they are.
They are not having champagne from the beginning of the night till the end and going up the scale till they can't even talk. So that's pretty much what happened last year. So Billy Crystal is a safe bet, and I'm pretty excited because I love the Academy Awards. But then again, I hope it's going to be good. And one more news before we go to a break. The Muppet movie premiere was last Saturday.
I'm so sad I wasn't there. I would have given my left foot to be able to go to that event.
Then again, I wouldn't have bought a plane ticket all the way to New York just to see Miss Piggy Pig on a limo. Well, probably I would have.
I would have.
If I had the money. Anyway, it was pretty awesome. The pictures are online. And like we got to see Neil Patrick Harris arriving on the red carpet. And Jason Segel and Amy Adams and Jennifer Morrison, who's on Once Upon a Time on ABC. And everyone's favorite diva, Miss Piggy Pig, she arrived on a limo.
Yes,
and
she did.
Kermit arrived on a limo. And they walked the red carpet, and they were awesome. They were pretty awesome. So the Muppets coming up on Thanksgiving. And I'm not going to watch it on Thanksgiving, but later we have to watch it.
I will be seeing it the day it's released. Yeah. I unfortunately cannot find any midnight showings in my area, but I will be seeing it that day.
So you'll get...
And so I will get to come back and report for you.
Yeah, you'll give us the review when we come back from Thanksgiving. And then the next week, we definitely have to see it. You again, and I'll...
Oh, yeah, I'll see it a second time. No problem.
So, okay, we're going to take a small break, but stay with us because coming up, we had a great show. And don't change the... You know, don't turn off your computers. And remember, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Camera Roll, and I am your host, Lady Madonna. Stay tuned. Zap it up, zoop it up, zap it up, zap it up, dee dap. Zap it up, zoop it up, zap it up, zap it up, dee dap. Dwee dap, dwee doo. Zap it up, zoop it up, zap it up, zap it up, dee dap.
What the heck is this?
No, Dad! What about you?
Son, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy?
Bloody hell, was that all about?
Hey, Buzz! You're flying!
This isn't flying. This is falling with style.
To infinity and beyond!
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. And this is Camera Roll. And today, we're going to talk about Disney movies.
Because Disney movies are one of the best things that have ever been created.
Yes, they are. So I want to dedicate this show to all of my friends back home who are huge Disney fans, to the Pinkies and to the Nerd Squad and to Joel, that he's listening to me. Thank you for listening. And this show is for all of you guys. And so we have Disney is they have done a lot of movies. A lot. Like, when I was looking, like, just to get sure of all the chronological order of things, there were a lot of movies that I didn't know they existed. Like, they were released, but, like, I think just in 1965, Disney released about 15 movies. And, like, just Cinderella was the important one. And the other ones, like, but they didn't, weren't important, but they still did them. Like, a lot of movies.
They did. And they used to do a lot of short movies. They still do.
Yeah.
They have a lot of shorts, and that's actually how they got their start, you know, with the original Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Yeah. Steamboat Willie.
And whatnot. Yeah, way back in the day. and then it was Snow White that really helped them.
Well, actually, the first one was Oswald before the Disney Company was the Disney Company.
Of course.
And then Snow White, and I love this fact that actually Snow White is my mom's favorite movie. It's Snow White and Cinderella. Like, she knows them by heart, she loves them. every time a new edition comes out, she buys them. And you know, they're pretty good movies. And so Snow White. And Snow White actually was the first animated movie to be featured in the Academy Awards.
It was. It was also the first feature-length animated movie.
Yes.
Which is probably the biggest deal.
And Walt Disney was also, well, you know, the first... It was the first animated feature-length movie and the first movie that included not just sounds in the background, but the people actually talking, yes. You know, dialogue and everything. And the first one that wasn't treated as a small cartoon thing, like just... Because cartoons were just like a practical joke, 10 minutes at most. But this one actually had a story and a plot and was an actual fairy tale. And so we owe every animated film we get today to Walt Disney.
Thank you, Mr. Walt Disney, for all you have done for the film world. We appreciate it.
So we got actually like looking up. All of the epic Disney movies were done in the earlier years. Like, we got Snow White, Pinocchio, Fantasia, Cinderella, Bambi, Dumbo, Alice in Wonderland, all of that before the 70s came out.
Yes.
And which one's your favorite movie from Disney? I know it's a hard question.
Overall, my favorite Disney movie. Well, okay, so my favorite Disney princess movie.
Okay, yeah, that's a yeah.
We'll,
that's
a we'll narrow it down a little bit. My favorite Disney princess movie is The Little Mermaid.
Yeah,
closely followed by Tangled, which was released a year ago now.
Yeah, 2010. Yes.
Yes, and so closely followed because that movie was just brilliant. One of my other favorite movies is probably Peter Pan.
Yeah,
because it's always been one of my favorite stories. I just love it.
I think my favorite princess movie. Actually, it will have to be Princess and the Frog.
Really?
A lot of people didn't like it, but I think it's because I watched it with my friends. And for me, it was like all of the Disney princesses, I love them all. I think maybe Cinderella is my favorite one, you know, of the classic mm-hmm. ones. But for me, when Princess and the Frog came, it was... Of course, I saw them in theaters, but I was just too small to maybe recall them
fully. To appreciate them, yeah.
So I actually went to see Princess and the Frog about 3 times in theaters. I just loved it. I bought it on DVD, and then I watched it with my friends. And I have one friend. Her name's Rosanna, and she is Tiana, like the whole thing. And so we had a group. We were on an apostolic group, and we worked like... really, really hard, so we felt like her because we were finishing up our homework and then you go to sleep 5 minutes and then wake up to class and like we felt like really we were her. And so I think that's why I like that movie that much. And then I think the animated movies, I think Lion King will have to be my favorite one.
Lion King is such a classic.
I mean, it's not just my favorite animated movie, it's one of my favorite movies like
of all time.
Yeah, of all time. And then Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, see, I didn't even bring up the non-animated movies.
I love Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, Pirates of the Caribbean is on my top 5 list.
I have a soft spot for it. They could release a really bad, bad, bad Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
But you'd still go see
it? And I still go see it. Example, the second one. I it's not that good. I'll talk about that later. Actually, we're going to talk about Pirates later on. Like, full 30 minutes of it. So... moving on to the next one. I took the liberty of actually, like, making, like, chronological order. I think we could say that Disney has different ages, like, stages on its production line.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the liberty of separating, like, the classic movies up to the 90s. And we would have... I feel the movie that breaks up, like the last movie on that, is Toy Story.
Okay.
Because even though it's like the new Snow White, I'm gonna say that because it was the first full length computer animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first Disney Pixar collaboration.
Yes.
And it's just a great story. I mean,
Toy Story is
awesome.
Is one of the other best movies that have been created that came out of Disney.
When I remember being that age, you kind of wanted your toys like to be able to
come
talk
to life and,
come
and to talk
life.
To you. Yeah,
that like in like them putting that in the movie was awesome, and the toys actually doing their own stuff, and the kid is not even important. Like the toys are the main thing. And I remember this friend of mine, Lalo. That's why we call him. He had a Buzz Lightyear with the rocket, and you could actually like kind of fire him. So we played with Buzz and everything. It was really fun. But so we got Snow White, Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, Bambi. I'm gonna say them all. So if don't get bored. Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, The Lady and the Tramp, Sleeping Beauty, 101 Dalmatians. That movie actually came out in the 60s. And I thought it was kind of new when I was a kid.
Oh, so did I, because they were re-releasing them.
Yeah. So
in the 90s.
When it came out on VHS, I was, oh my God, this is a great movie. This is a new movie. Oh, no.
No, it's not.
No. So then The Sword in the Stone. I love that movie.
Oh, classic.
The Jungle Book. That's actually my dad's favorite animated movie.
I think that's my dad's as well. Don't quote me on that, but that is the one that we tend to sing together.
Yeah, actually, that's my dad doesn't always buy movies. Like, he buying movies. My mom's the one who buys the movies. The only movies he's bought is E.T. and The Jungle Book. So I know those are kind of his favorite movies, probably. And then The Aristocats, The Black Cauldron, and we're going to talk about that later. The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King, Pocahontas, Aladdin, and Toy Story. And those are up to 1998. That's when Toy Story came out. 95.
Yeah, there you go.
95. So that's like, we could say that's the classic Disney movies. Because then we came to a bunch of movies before the 2000s. They weren't as bad, but they were like kind of not everyone's favorite movies. And we have The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Didn't like it.
I actually liked it, but then it's really sad. I mean,
I appreciated it more when I was younger, and then I got older and started paying attention.
Yeah, it's
and
really
I realized
creepy.
It's really not
it's
that
really
good.
It's really cruel. I mean, it's a great story, obviously, but I don't think it's the kind of story they didn't get away, because a lot of fairy tales are really cruel, but Disney has a way of making them pretty and not cruel. But they didn't get away with that with the
not
Hunchback.
Not with Hunchback.
And then we have Hercules, Mulan. They're really good.
Okay, yeah. Hercules is another one of my favorite Disney movies.
Mine too. The songs are great. But that's kind of their last stretch. Disney, Mulan, and Tarzan.
Again, that was just a great one when it came out.
So those are like...
So the 90s were not bad for Disney.
Yeah, but that's kind of the last stretch before they got really bad. Also, we had A Bug's Life. That's good. It's mm-hmm. not great, but it's good. Toy Story 2.
Which was one of the best sequels that has ever been created in movie history.
I still don't love it. But
really?
Anyway, it's a good movie. No, I don't love
it. I thought it was even more brilliant than the original.
I'm not sure. I can watch it, and I just don't like the song Jesse sings. So anyway, that's my issue, not the movie's issue. And then Fantasia 2000.
Which it was nice to see another Fantasia movie. However, I remember seeing it in IMAX because that's the only place that it played. And there was too much talking.
Yes.
I wanted
too much
more
explaining.
Music and I wanted more of the original. And so the pieces that they chose were brilliant.
Yeah. And the animation is great.
The animation was
And then
vivid.
Again, Steve Martin is really funny. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of why they did more talking, because it was Steve Martin.
But even then, it was I wanted more of the original.
Yeah. So, well, those last ones is kind of like the last good before they got... I'm not going to say bad, because no Disney movie is really bad. But before they came down a notch. I want to talk just briefly about The Black Cauldron. An interesting fact, it's not a great Disney movie. I actually never seen the whole thing.
It's one of the worst.
The interesting fact is after, so we have the creepiest villain, like looking and the most ominous Disney villain, I guess is Maleficent.
Yes.
And so Disney, like they noticed how much this villain like called out to kids. So they tried to do a different version of Maleficent.
Yes.
And there's where the idea of the movie came out, because I don't even know the name of the guy.
I haven't seen the movie in so long. I can't remember the name of the character. However, the antagonists that are... deep, scary villain is a throwback to yeah. Maleficent. He's got the horns, he's got the dark nature.
So he's actually, and Disney people have said this, he was an attempt to make like a male Maleficent.
Yes.
I don't think they succeeded. But anyway,
I mean, he was scary, but just the movie itself was so awful yeah. that you couldn't appreciate
the whole thing. Yeah. And then briefly, then again, I love like Disney fun facts. I have a lot of them. So The Lion King and Pocahontas, those two movies started production. Pocahontas started production about 6 months or 1 year before The Lion King. And so Disney, like, they really loved the story. So they put all of their good artists into that movie because they said this is going to be a great movie. And then for The Lion King, they hired a bunch of young artists and artists who had only done background work and were not as important to The Lion King. And so The Lion King came out first because Pocahontas is a great piece of animation.
Yes, it is.
Great animation. Though the story is maybe not as great. I mean, it's a good story. Pocahontas has something to it that it doesn't make it your favorite movie. It's weird because it has great animation, has a great story, has wonderful music.
And yet it just...
It's not there. Like,
yeah,
you see
it just
it
didn't
like,
quite reach it or top anything else. And yeah. So it is very good.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. It's not as magical because it's perfect in every sense. But it's just not as magical as other Disney movies.
Right.
So it's pretty funny that like the second hand team actually made a better job than the first one because The Lion King is pretty much the best movie, animated movie after Snow White probably.
Yes.
So that's my fun fact. And then quickly...
I'm going to interrupt you before you even start. Okay, you have The Emperor's New Groove under Shipwreck.
Because it's the same time.
The Emperor's New Groove is one of the most hysterical
yeah.
Disney movies
I wanted
ever
to talk
created.
About that because it's really, really funny.
Again, I keep saying, oh yeah, this is my favorite too, and this is my favorite too. Okay, but this one, again, one of my favorites. You say Emperor's New Groove and people will flock to you.
Yeah. I know, and actually, this one I've just seen in Spanish, because Disney movies have great Spanish translations, usually, not all of them, but this one has a great translation, has a lot of great moments, but then again, it kind of feels like the kind of movie you'd see on Disney Channel and not on theaters. Like, funny, great time, but not actually a great movie in itself. Like, the story is kind of predictable and everything, you know?
We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Because
cinematically, I'm sure we could have a great argument, but I just love this movie too much.
No, it's really funny. But it's in there because of the time period.
Yes.
And then we have, and I'm going to say the movies, and they're not all bad. Of course, all Disney Pixar movies, I think, are great. But this is the period we got a lot of bad Disney movies, I think. So we got Atlantis, Shipwreck, awful movie. Monsters, Inc., awesome, but then again, Disney Pixar.
Exactly.
Lilo and Stitch.
Adorable beyond all reason.
Right? I love it.
So cute.
Love it. So Lilo and Stitch, I think, is the last like great movie just to the animation, just Disney. And then we have Treasure Planet, awful movie. Awful, not worth saying about anything. Brother Bear is cute, but it's not really good. Phil Collins is awesome. The songs are really good, but the movie is not great.
Right.
Then we have Finding Nemo. I think it's a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Really great story. Then The Incredibles, not great, but it's funny. And then again, Disney Pixar, they don't do anything wrong. And then Home on the Range, one of the worst movies ever.
Yeah, let's not even talk about that. Moving
yeah.
on.
Chicken Little. Actually, the story is not bad. It kind of has their good spots, but it's a bad movie. Then Cars. I love that movie, even though a lot of people didn't like it.
I thought it was great.
I love it. I love talking Cars. And we're going to talk about that one when Brian comes in. And then Ratatouille. I love it because it's
classic.
Food.
And I get hungry every time I watch it. It's not fair.
And it's friends. What's not to like? I love that movie. But then again, Disney Pixar. And then Meet the Robinsons.
Which is probably one... I think if I had to choose a movie that I didn't like from Pixar, that would be the one.
It's not from Pixar. is from Disney Animation. It's the same thing that happened with Chicken Little.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to talk about. That would explain.
Yeah. That explains a lot why it's not one of my favorites.
After that movie, Disney realized, after Bolt. Okay, so it's Meet the Robinsons, then WALL-E, then Bolt. I want to talk about those last three. So after Meet the Robinsons and Bolt, Disney realized they couldn't do computer animation without Pixar.
Exactly.
And not just because of the animation thing, because of, I guess, they didn't come up with good stories for them.
Yeah, between the resources that Pixar had and...
They created
and
team. Just
and the creative team. They were ingenious.
Yeah.
And so then we had the fight of the ages between Disney and Pixar.
But then again, I guess it's all for, you know, for publicity. So Meet the Robinsons is actually a pretty interesting thing because the story and... You know, the message it leaves you is really good.
It is. It's very cute.
I really like this movie, not because of the animation, but because of all the sentiment that comes with it.
Yeah, it is a feel-good film.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie. Yeah.
But, and then again, I'm going to say it is kind of a mediocre film. It didn't get as far as all the other Disney movies did. And then, okay, WALL-E, I know everyone liked it, but it's too ecological for me. I didn't like WALL-E. Even though Ben Burtt is awesome and all the sounds are amazing, I just can't watch that movie. I get bored. I fall asleep.
I think it's adorable.
I know everyone does. I have a problem with talking robots that are not R2-D2. Or not talking robots that are not R2-D2. But then again, this is Ben Burtt we're talking about. And then Bolt. That's it. I'm not going to talk about that movie.
Yeah.
And then, for me, this is Disney's comeback. Sometime in between the 2000s, they closed the Disney Animation Studios in California. No, in Florida. They closed the animation studios in Tokyo. And they only left the ones in California. And they said they belong. Yeah, they said they wanted to keep a better control on their movies and quality control. And I think it's working because the movie they released after that, actually, they changed the animation symbol and it's Mickey in Willie Steamboat whistling.
And then they updated the castle icon, which I miss the old one, blue screen, white castle.
I'm not going to talk about that because I love them both. So I think this is a comeback for Disney and they released The Princess and the Frog.
Which a lot of people liked. I have my personal issues with. However, it was a decent movie.
It has a classic feel to it. That's what I liked.
See, it wasn't classic enough for me. That was my main problem.
You see, but if you take into account the last 10 years, it's classic enough.
Because it was a princess movie.
Yeah.
That's why it was classic.
Anyway, princess movie, 2D animation, a lot of songs, great villain. I loved it.
It was a throwback movie.
Yeah. And then we have Up. It is a great movie. We could talk about all day about Up, but we're really just a bit behind schedule, so we'll talk later about Up. And then Tangled, that you loved.
I loved so much. I just cannot get over that movie.
I am going to say that I'm pretty sure they screwed up the translation into Spanish. Because I watched it, I didn't find it as good as everyone in here in the US have told me they find. So I have to watch it in English.
I own it, so we can watch it.
Okay, so we'll watch it, and I'll tell you guys what I thought about it, because in Spanish, it's not that great.
I'll tell you. So I didn't see Tangled until it was in the $3 theater by my house. So that was about 6 months after it was actually released in theaters.
Yeah.
Totally went on a whim. Loved it. And then it came out on DVD, and so I had essentially watched it 3 or 4 times in 1 week. Yeah. I was that obsessed.
Been there, done that.
Then I went out and bought the soundtrack. Straight up went to the store and bought the soundtrack.
So we're definitely gonna have a talk about Tangle after I see it in English. And then Toy Story 3 and Cars 2. Then again, I loved them both.
See, haven't seen Cars 2. It is currently waiting on my computer.
Oh, yeah, you should watch it.
So I will watch that soon. And Toy Story 3.
There's no words for that movie. I mean, if you were a kid when the first Toy Story came out, you just loved this movie.
This movie was for you. Yeah. As much as it was for little kids,
everyone
loved
it.
That movie was for us, the college-age students who had grown up with the series.
My 8-year-old brother loved the movie.
Who had to go through that experience of letting your toys go.
Yeah.
Some people might argue because they had no love for their stuffed animals. However, yeah. It is a heart-wrenching experience to realize you're going to college and have to give up your childhood.
So, Will, that's it for our kind of everything Disney segment. And when we come, we're going to take a short break, really short, I promise. When we come back, we're going to talk about Disney sports movies and anything that comes up. So stay with us.
Ayo.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last. Walking down the street
in my new free, yeah. I don't know what we're yelling about!
I love Modern Family.
I'm sexy and I know it.
So what's your plan for getting past those guys?
Live bait.
Good idea.
Hey. Come on, Timon. You guys have to create a diversion.
What do you want me to do? Dress and drag and do the hula?
Wow! If you're hungry for a hunk of fat and juicy meat, eat my buddy Pumper here, because the end is green. Coming down a dime on a Stacy swine. All you have to do is get in line. Ah, you ache it?
Yup, yup, yup.
For some bacon.
Yup, yup, yup.
He's a big pig.
Yup, yup.
You can be a big pig too.
Hey-o.
Hey everyone, this is radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to Camera Roll, and I'm your host, Lady Madonna, and here with me is Brian Sanchez.
In the building, Lady Madonna, how's it going?
Very good, how's it going?
Excellent.
So, of course, Disney movies, and we are going to talk about Disney sports movies, because one of we have a lot of good sports movies, like Invincible.
Yep, Invincible.
And we have that rugby one, Invictus, really good one. So we have a great, like a lot of great sports movies.
Absolutely.
But, and I'm biased because I'm a Disney fan, but I think the best sports movie is a Disney one.
My favorite sports movie of all time is a Disney one, and that's a fact.
And so, will you be so kind to tell us which is the best sports movies of all time?
That is Remember the Titans.
Of course it is.
I've seen it no less than 137 times, and it never gets old.
It never gets old.
And the other thing, to prove it never gets old, every time Gary Bertier gets hit in his car, if it's on TV, I change the channel. If it's on DVD, I fast forward because I can't watch it because I break down and cry.
Yeah.
It's too sad. I can't do it.
It's a great movie.
Denzel owns that movie.
Oh, he does. He
tears it apart. He is so good as a head coach in that movie.
I mean, so if for you of our listeners who haven't seen the movie, first of all, how dare you? You need to watch this movie. It's been out for so long. You should watch it. Go right now. Buy it because it's really cheap on Target and Walmart. Buy it and see it and learn it. And so, okay, besides the aggressiveness. Okay, so it's a great movie that is about an actual period of time, an actual happening at this college. High school? Yeah. In the 50s? 60s.
60s.
And they tried to integrate black students into the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that the best way of doing that was making an integrated football team.
The only one in the...
in the country.
In the... well, it was in the state and the county, at least.
Yeah, something like that. It was a pretty big deal.
It was a huge deal.
So they brought not only black kids, they brought a coach that was also black, and he was to be the assistant coach. And, of course, that created a lot of turmoil, and the white students wouldn't want to play with the black students, and the white coaches wouldn't want to coach with the black coaches. So what they did is go in a boot camp and force them to be together, to train together, and to love each other. And that and the actual games, and I'm not going to tell you much about that because you need to watch the movie if you haven't.
Yeah, and what I like about it is it's a sports movie, not a Disney movie.
Yes.
There's no birds that help them put their uniforms on in the locker room. There's no dance numbers by the field crew watering the field before the game. It's a sports movie, and it hits on a lot of issues. It hits on integration, obviously, but it's really about sports, and it really focuses on sports. And if you love sports or football, you're going to like the movie. And if we just showed it to you without telling you it was Disney and you didn't know, you wouldn't believe it.
It's so great.
And like I mentioned before, the head coach is Denzel Washington, which is really the icing on the cake for this whole thing.
It is. He's a great actor.
He's perfect in this role, too.
Yeah. And so he delivers. And even though it's not a movie, it's not the kind of movie you need big names for the movie to be good. A lot of good actors came out of that movie. Young actors. We have Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah.
She's a good actress. She's not excellent, but she's good.
She was adorable in that movie,
She was
too.
Adorable. Kicking the coach and everything.
Yep.
Ryan Gosling.
Yep.
He was actually part of the Mickey Mouse Club, and that was his first film. And he's adorable in the movie. He's kind of the team mascot. Everyone makes fun of him.
Yeah.
And we have this big guy. I don't remember his name. The one who sings and loves like soul music.
Oh, I know his name. And Remember the Titans is Louis Lastic.
Yeah.
What his real life name is, I don't know, but he's in the My Name Is Earl.
Yeah. And he's not done a lot of big movies, but he still acts.
Yeah.
And he's made a career out of that movie. And, well, it's just a great movie. We have also the guy who was in Scrubs.
Oh, Donald Faison.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Petey Jones, running back. I repeat, the running back.
So it's a great movie. I mean, even if you don't like sports, because the thing is, a real sports movie. And if you like sports, you're going to love it. But even if you don't like sports, it's still a Disney movie with all the elements that in the core make a Disney movie good.
Absolutely.
It's a great family movie. I remember I hadn't watched that. I remember watching that as a kid, just one time probably. And then my brother came to the United States to study 1 year. And that's intern schools.
Uh-huh.
So they will watch a movie every week, and they watch Remember the Titans, and he was completely obsessed with the movie. So we bought the movie, and I remember this one trip. The van we rented had a DVD player.
Uh-oh.
And we watched that movie about 6 times in 1 week.
That's
back
a perfect
to back.
Week.
Back to back.
No, yeah. If you're listening and you haven't seen the movie, but football is not exactly your thing, it's very funny.
It is.
And it's very emotional. You're going to get attached to the people in the movie, and you're going to get really entrenched in the race relations
yes.
going on at the time. And you get the feelings where you're disgusted that people used to be like that. And yeah. then you kind of go on a roller coaster ride up and down through the whole movie. It's yeah. really great.
And then again, it's timeless, because even though maybe that subject is not as relevant now as it is then, as it was then, the whole thing of different people coming together and, you know, caring about other people, not because of their color of the skin or what they are, the political preferences and everything, that we're all humans. We all want the same things. We want to be happy. We want to be better. That's what brings this movie together.
And it's also important to note that other than Gary Bertier, all the black players were better too.
Yeah.
Just a little side note. What else we got? Yeah. You got more Disney sports movies?
Yes, we have. Although compared to this one, they're like just passing movies.
Yeah.
We have the Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks trilogy.
The Mighty Ducks. So everyone who was a kid in the 90s has a particular love for these movies. Uh-huh. And I remember there was no hockey in my city.
Yeah.
We didn't play hockey. We didn't know anything about hockey. But we love the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, because the Mighty Ducks were the group of kids that you wanted you and your friends to be.
Yeah.
You wanted to get along like them. You wanted to just be able to go out on a random day, pick up a game of something, and, you know, mess around and look like you're having pure fun the whole yeah. time. It's what you wanted to be.
And I think it's safe to say maybe after The Breakfast Club is the best Emilio Estevez movie.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Because, you know, he hasn't done much since.
No, not really.
But
Coach Bombay.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a great movie. It's a kid's movie. If you didn't see it when you were a kid, probably you wouldn't like it because it's a kid's movie.
Yeah. But there are ones like when you go deeper into the trilogy, 2 and 3, there's one about the Olympics and it's USA against Iceland.
Yeah.
And then there's one where they go to
against
high
Russia?
School. Well, there's one where they're in high school and it's varsity JV and nobody likes the new coach.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks he's like a hard ass coach. And then you see him ice skating with his daughter in a wheelchair.
Oh, I remember that.
And it's really emotional. So it's another one of those Disney sports movies that really hits everything.
Yeah.
It's not just messing around, yes. you know, having fun.
I have a thing with these movies. I watched them a lot when I was a kid. But then I haven't watched them in a long time. So I have them all mixed together in my head. So yeah. I can't tell you what happens in which movie. I can't. I just remember them being on the ice a lot.
Well, luckily for you, we got the trilogy back at the dorm. So
yes, we do. We're going to
refresh your memory.
Yeah, it's going to be like watching them for the first time because it's been so long since I watched them.
Do I see cars on there?
Oh,
on that?
Yes, you do.
Okay, first, I do have a sports show. So I have to throw out the fact that NASCAR is not a sport. But for the sake of talking Disney sports yeah. movies, I'll count it.
Yeah.
Because it's Disney movies. And
but, you know, it's not NASCAR. It's the Piston Cup.
Yeah.
So
we'll say the Piston Cup is a sport, not NASCAR. But, you know, it's a pretty entertaining movie.
It is.
The reason I like it, like, I don't care what else is in there. Larry the Cable Guy doing Tow-Mater makes it watchable to me. The rest of it I don't really care for, but Larry the Cable Guy is hilarious.
He has a pretty good cast. I mean,
Owen Wilson, right?
Owen Wilson, he's Lightning McQueen. And we have this guy that I don't remember his name. He's an old guy. He did a racing movie when he was younger. It's either Paul Newman or other guy. I don't remember right now.
And Paul Newman sounds right. That
I think it's familiar. I think it's Paul Newman yeah. and he's the doc.
Yeah.
So
the chick car? The Porsche?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's maybe not that important.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't remember who is she, but it's a great movie. And then again, I was just telling you in the break, I have the movie. I watch all the bonus material as yeah. I do when I buy a movie. I'm pretty one of the few people I know that do that, watch yeah. all the bonus material. But anyway, there's this interview with John Lasseter. And of course, he came up with the idea. He was traveling the country. Like one day, he told his wife, I remember traveling around the country with my dad and my family, and people don't do that anymore. You just take a plane to wherever you want to go. why don't do a road trip and take the highway and go and just see where the road take us. And so they did a road trip in the country.
Uh-huh.
And they took a lot of pictures, and all the experience was so emotional to them that he said, I have to do a movie about this.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing behind the movie. Like, if you remember Radiator Springs, they got cut off the road because of the highway.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to go fast and not to enjoy the view. So it's a movie that is, of course, for kids. Maybe if you're not a big Disney fan, you won't like it. I've heard a lot of people don't like the movie because of the fact they're cars. But I think they did a pretty good job making the cars. Like,
it's got to be tough personifying them, right?
Yeah, really, really tough. He was talking about you want to get them right and just to be flexible enough so they can have expressions, but not that you don't believe they're cars. And a lot of people have issues with the fact that the cars drive themselves and have no people driving them.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with that because, you know, there
is. No, I love that stuff because then you think about, you know, one day maybe there are cars that do that, or I wish my car could do that.
Well, like
my car is a transformer, so I don't have to worry about that. But other people probably think about that.
Oh, my car is definitely a car's car. So anyway, it's an entertainment film. The story is not maybe a great story. I mean, it's just any stories. This guy who, he's a big shot and he's all about the money and material stuff. And he comes to this little town where everyone just care about each other.
Yeah.
And he learns to care about others.
Real classic storyline.
Yeah. And it's really good for kids. I think what makes it good, like right now and the moment it came out, is that we are so consumed by buying things and material stuff and sometimes forget to care about each other. And this movie totally calls that and says, and a lot of kids, I've watched a lot of small kids that care more about their PS3 than they do about their brother.
I hope my sister isn't listening.
So it's a.
But I hope my PS3 is okay.
It's a lesson that I think hits home these days.
Yeah. No, it's good.
And you have to love Mater.
Oh, I do.
Driving backwards.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he is. And anyway, it has a lot of good jokes, a lot of good moments, like every Disney movie. So I love that movie, even though NASCAR is not a sport. We can say the Piston Cup is.
Yeah, we'll count it.
Yeah. Personally, what I like most about the movie is the Italian car, Luigi.
Yeah.
I love him. The white wall tires, really good, like a Ferrari? No. No. He's like, and the little guy, I don't remember the name, the one that does the pit stops. And he's like really fast and everything. And at the end, when the Ferraris come to the store and he faints, it's like just so funny.
Yeah.
In Cars 2, it's more like, it reminded me a bit of the Fast and the Furious, like going through all the cities and stuff.
Yeah, which is cool.
It's cool. And it gave the Pixar people a chance to explore different cars.
Yeah, have some fun too.
Yeah, so I actually love that one. They have a lot of good jokes and you get to see a lot of different cars. And like in Tokyo, everything's like kind of different and anime style. And
yeah, no, that's really cool. Yeah. I didn't see that one, but
well,
I bet
Lisa
you
has it.
I bet you their creativity was rampant going through the different places in the world.
It was. So we're going to take a small break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Disney Channel and Pirates of the Caribbean. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This is radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to Camera Roll, and I'm your host, Lady Madonna. See you soon. Don't change. Don't turn off your laptops. We're going for a small break.
Show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view, no one to tell us no, a
where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Now I'm in a whole new world. To see,
I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far. I can't go back to where I used to be. Every turn a surprise. Every moment red letter. I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare. Let me share this whole new world with you.
A whole new.
Okay, I take it back.
You can't take it back.
Why not?
Because it's already out there.
Oh, geez, what are we supposed to do? Call the cops? It's already out there.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is radio.dominican.edu, and I'm your host, Lady Madonna. You're listening to Camera Roll. So, tonight, on our late show segment, it's actually going to be a short segment because later we're going to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean. But on this segment today, we're going to talk about Disney Channel. And I know there's a lot to say about Disney Channel, but I think there's too much to say. So I'm just going to give you like the briefs on Disney Channel and why is it important in the Disney franchise. So the Disney Channel came to be when they realized they could put their material on TV. And everyone remembers from the beginnings of the Disney Channel, the Mickey Mouse Club, that of course the Mickey Mouse Club made possible for us to relate with Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Ryan Gosling, well, a lot of people that have careers now were originally in the Mickey Mouse Club. So the channel actually started, like officially started in 1983. But before that, they tried to do it like a couple of times, but it didn't work out. So it became possible when Ronald Reagan became president and he made some amendments to the TV concept. So that Disney made a channel. And what I'd like to say about Disney Channel is that pretty much everyone who grew up in the 90s has a favorite Disney Channel show or a Disney Channel movie. I remember I watched a lot of Disney Channel shows, and my favorites were Kim Possible, great cartoon, really funny cartoon, even Stevens, that actually Shia LaBeouf, the guy who's the main character in Transformers, and he was also in Disturbia and Red Eye. He was on Even Stevens as Louis Stevens, and it was pretty funny. We all remember Boy Meets World, and That's So Raven, and well, a lot of shows, Lizzie McGuire, and that they came in the 90s and early 2000s. So, a lot of these shows were like Disney Channel was, and I think still is with the new people in there, like Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus, even though I don't like them, we have to give them credit that starting it at the Disney Channel is a good starting point if you want to build a career in the movie or TV business. So, what I remember most about Disney Channel are those series that Disney Channel made it possible for kids to have shows that were not cartoons, but were for kids. I believe they were the first ones to make live action shows for kids without them being dorky, like not a morning show, but actually you could tune on at 5 o'clock and watch the equivalent of a primetime series, but for kids. Like Even Stevenson was a comedy show, Boy Meets World, like is like Saved by the Bell, but that was more for teenagers, that kind of show, but for kids. So it's worth mentioning because of that, because Disney Channel made it possible for what we have now in Nickelodeon, a lot of, Disney Channel and Nickelodeon, we had also Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and we had Clarice Explains It All, and all that kind of shows. I believe Disney Channel made that possible, because then they had, they could make the programming everything they wanted. So you had cartoons in the morning, and then those shows in the afternoon. Of course, now we have the equivalent of the 90s shows. Right now, we have the Jonas Brothers show, Sunny with a Chance, Good Luck Charlie. We have Zack and Cody. I think that's over now. I'm not sure. Of course, Hannah Montana is over, but everyone loved that. I didn't, but it had a pretty big fan base. And of course, a lot of Disney-made films. So we have movies like High School Musical. That's a pretty big hit. The Luck of the Irish. Well, so many, I can't recall all of them. But everyone has a favorite Disney Channel movie. And though the channel has gone a lot of things through a lot of things, we all remember the time when they split into several channels. And so that they did that in to have like a better targeting audience. And so we have Toon Disney, Zoog, The Vault, Playhouse Disney, and oh, I love Toon Disney because that was all cartoons all the time. And so in the 2000s, we had Disney Channel had a relaunch because they were losing audiences. Because, well, first they were pretty much the only kid channel where there was Nickelodeon, but they were pretty unique, but through time, they lost audiences a lot. So they kind of reinvented themselves, and now we have Disney Channel, and we have a Disney XD, where they have a lot of the shows. It's supposed to be like extreme Disney. So they have cartoons, and they have a lot of live-action shows, like Zeke and Luther. And, well, Disney Channel, even though, of course, I still watch some of the shows. I watch Phineas and Ferb, I told you that. But, of course, it's targeted for kids and young teenagers, like 12, 13 years old. And, well, it's a great asset, and it's worth mentioning, because they are, a lot of the people who work on their shows go ahead and then make a name out of themselves, pretty much like Nickelodeon in the 90s. So we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean. So stay tuned, because it's going to be awesome. Remember, you're on radio.dominican.edu. This is Camera Roll, and I'm your host, Lady Madonna. Stay tuned.
Of beasts with quite so little hair.
I'm gonna be the main event like no king was before. I'm brushing up on looking down. I'm working on my
board. Thus far, a rather an inspiring thing.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
You've rather a long way to go, young master, if you think.
No one's saying do this.
Now, when I said that,
no one's saying be there.
What?
No one's saying stop that.
What you don't
no
realize.
One thinks he is.
Now see here.
He don't run around all day.
Well, that's definitely out.
Free
and I arranged a heart-to-heart.
King, so need advice from little poor Phil's four star.
If this is where the monarchy is headed, count me out. Out of service, out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about. This child is getting wildly out of wing.
To go to there.
This is madness. It's madness, I tell you, for the love of God, Monica, don't do it!
Go ahead. Make my day.
Wednesday morning papers didn't come.
Now, bring me that horizon. And really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho!
Hey everyone, and welcome to Camera Roll. And we're going to talk about, on our movie review segment, about one of my favorite Disney films. And the movie is, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean. And, well, I know it's debatable. A lot of people don't like those movies. I love them. And there are a lot of fun facts that we can say about these movies. So that's why I chose it, because I love fun facts and interesting trivia about those movies. So, okay, for if you don't know what are the Pirates of the Caribbean, either you're a pretty intelligent person who has spent the last 10 years inside a lab working on antimateria or something like that, or you have been underneath a rock for the last 10 years, because pretty much everyone knows what is Pirates of the Caribbean. If you don't know where it is, I'm going to tell you about it. So the movie, the first one came out in 2003, and we hadn't seen pirate movies in a long time. Pretty much all the pirate movies are old movies, and maybe one or two TV shows that make allusion to pirates, but it pretty much reinvented action pirate films. And the movie is actually the first movie in Walt Disney's movies history to be PG-13. Every other Walt Disney movie before Pirates of the Caribbean is PG or G. So this is the first movie only for teenagers and up. I'm pretty sure a lot of kids have watched this movie, even though it's PG-13, but is pretty noticeable that it's the first one. And it's a movie directed by Gore Verbinski and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. So it's an action movie, and it's about Jack Sparrow. And Jack Sparrow is this crazy pirate that lives all the time half drunk and is pretty awesome, even though he's pretty much drunk all the time. And, well, the movie, I mean, the story is kind of weird. The first movie, I think, is the best movie. It was Pirates of the Caribbean, the Curse of the Black Pearl. And the movie is about how this boat, this ship, the Black Pearl, and all its crew, they are haunted. They have a curse on them. So the movie starts introducing you to Jack Sparrow. And he looks like a pretty, like, maybe not a great pirate, because he gets caught pretty much in the beginning of the film. And so Johnny Depp plays Jack Sparrow. He's the main character. And then we have our other main characters or supporting characters are Will Turner, played by Orlando Bloom, and Elizabeth Swann, played by Keira Knightley. And then we have Captain Barbossa, played by Geoffrey Rush. So, though I don't like Orlando Bloom, he makes a decent, not good, a decent performance in this movie, pretty much because the character is not really, like, smart or anything. So, it kind of redefined fantasy action family films. It has a great plot. It was something different at the time. And so you get introduced to the characters and you find out that there's this weird curse on the crew of the Black Pearl. And they come to the movie, like, you know, you're not following them, you're following Jack Sparrow and Elizabeth and Will. And the Black Pearl comes into the movie because they are looking for a medallion, an Aztec gold medallion that Elizabeth has. So the movie starts when a ship coming from England passes near a shipwreck, and they rescue a little boy that is Will Turner. And Elizabeth, she was a girl. So they pick him up, and she sees the medallion, and she hides the medallion because she's afraid the crew is going to see that he has a pirate medallion, and she's afraid they're going to, like, kill him or something. So to save him, like, that's kind of what she does. I don't believe that, but anyway. So she says that to save him, she hides the medallion. And when Jack Sparrow, like, then we have a jump of maybe 20 years or, I don't know, 10 years. And so we come in to meet Jack Sparrow, and he's trying to steal a ship from this place, this city, town or something, where Will and Elizabeth are. Elizabeth, she's attending a ceremony, and she has a pretty tight corset, so she can't breathe, and she falls into the water. And Jack Sparrow, even though he's a pirate, and he's supposed to be scum and try and kill and pillage and plunder people, he still goes into the water and tries and save her. And that ends up bad for him, because, you know, he ends up getting caught and getting thrown into jail. Anyway, the medallion touches the water, and something, the medallion is enchanted or something like that. So the crew in the Black Pearl, they get kind of a calling to it. So they go to the town and try to get the medallion back. I'm pretty sure I'm not making a lot of sense if you haven't seen the movie. So I'm just going to let you see the movie if you haven't. I'm going to tell you more fun facts about it, though. So the movie was, when they started planning the movie was supposed to be about Will Turner. And that's Orlando Bloom's character. But when Johnny Depp joined the cast and he started developing the character more, because Jack Sparrow was supposed to be kind of like the Will Turner's mentor and have a slighter small role. So they say, okay, so you're Jack Sparrow and you're this. And he started developing the character more and more and getting more into it. So the producer said this is a great opportunity. So they made the role of Jack Sparrow a bigger role. And this way, the movies became about Jack Sparrow. Even though the second and third one are... the first movie is all about the curse of the Black Pearl. That's the name of the movie. And how they're trying to undo the curse. And Jack Sparrow... Why is Jack Sparrow important in this movie? Because he was the captain of the Black Pearl before the ship got cursed. And then the crew made a mutiny against him and threw him into the sea. Well, into an island. So they took care of him and they got rid of him. So he's not cursed, though the ship is his ship. So that's why he's trying... He never tells the truth. Well, he tells the truth. He's a sneaky character. Anyway, he's trying to get his ship back. And when he found out that Will Turner is the son of one of the guys on the crew that he of one of his previous friends, because Will's dad died, but he was a friend of Jack's. He says they need him to break the curse, so he kind of lies to him a bit in order to get the ship back. At the end of the movie, he does get the ship back. So if you didn't see the movie, sorry, I kind of spoiled it for you. But anyway, he gets the ship back. And then we go into the second and third movies that I remember going into theaters and seeing them. I remember kind of liking the second one, but it's just the second one is just a transition to the third one. And then the third one is kind of the conclusion. So you actually have to see these films as a Pirates of the Caribbean 1. And then the two and the second and third ones, you have to see them as one movie, as a one really, really long movie. Because if you watch them as separate movies, they're not good. I mean, the second one is incomplete. The third one is like too many things going on. And then everything resolving at once. If we look at them from a cinematographer eyes, the first one is a great movie. The second and third one are really bad. The first one was so good. It even got Oscar nominations and for Best Actor, for I think even for Best Movie, though. I'm not sure. They got nominations for special effects, makeup, music, a lot of things. So the first one is a really, really good movie on itself. It's a good action movie. The second and third one are not as good. But if you look at them as one movie and one story in like split into, then it's a really great story. What happened in the second and third one that I didn't love is that it's more about Will and Elizabeth and kind of their relationship. And the best character is Jack Sparrow, even though in the third one, the third movie is more about Jack Sparrow than the second one. So by the end of the third movie, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, by the end of the third movie, Will and Elizabeth get married and they kind of close the cycle on them because Will becomes... the next Davy Jones, he has to ferry souls who die at sea to the other world or the afterlife or wherever. So what they did, they kind of closed the cycle of them. And so the only thing you have left is Jack Sparrow. And though at the beginning they had said they were only going to be three movies, by the end of the third one, Jerry Bruckheimer said that they were probably going to do at least one more. So... and this summer, Pirates of the Caribbean 4 came out. And, okay, so fun fact. Johnny Depp, he developed most of the character, the Jack Sparrow character. And he inspired the character on Keith Richards, the guitarist for the Rolling Stones. So, actually, he told the producers this. And so, for the second movie, the producers were trying to get Keith Richards to make a cameo on the movie. Maybe, and the rumors were maybe as Jack Sparrow's father. But, fun fact, the Rolling Stones do every summer a tour, and they go 1 week kind of on vacations for getting prepared for the tour. You know, 1 week before the tour. So they were in Hawaii or something like that. And Keith Richards, I'm pretty sure he was stoned or something. He got into a palm tree and fell. And I think he broke his arm or something. So they had to postpone the tour. And so he couldn't have a cameo on the second movie. He did have a cameo on the third movie, by the way, and also on the fourth one. But you don't see him on the second one because of that. He fall off a palm tree. Pretty much what Steve Tyler does every now and then. Falling off things and falling in stage and stuff. I think that's a must for a rocker. Anyway, the fourth movie came out this summer. And I really liked it. I think I like the first one is the better one. Then the fourth and then the second and third, like one movie. Anyway, they're really good movies. So the fourth one, I actually wasn't sure about going to see it because Penelope Cruz was in it. And I don't like her. I don't like the way she acts. I don't like the fact that she can't speak English well after so many years, you know, being in touch with people who speak English. But anyway, she actually does a pretty decent job in the movie, and you kind of actually like her by the end of the movie. So the fourth movie, first of all, Jack returns as the center of attention, and the whole movie is about him, pretty much. Well, not all the movie, but he's the center of attention. And, well, the movie is about Blackbird, because the first movie is about the Black Pearl, and how it's cursed. The second and third movies are about, you get Davy Jones and the Flying Dutchman, and he's like the main antagonist in those films. After, well, no, he's the bad guy in the second one, but then the pirates, if you know a bit of history, the English Navy had the East India Trading Company, the East India Trading Federation, I think. Well, the equivalent in the movie is the East India Trading Company, and they regulated the traffic of spices and selling and all the business that went overseas. So actually, obviously, they were all against the pirates because pirates stole from them. So the chief of the East India Trading Company in the second movie is a guy named Cutler Beckett, and he's determined to make war against all pirates. So pretty much what happens is, the second movie is about Jack Sparrow's struggle to pay Davy Jones' debt. He has a debt to Davy Jones. And then the third one is about all the pirates coming together to overcome the East India Trading Company and those being able to keep living. So it's pretty funny because actually, if you look at it from a historic point of view, pirates are the bad guys because they steal and they kill people and they rob villages and rape people and everything. So, but you actually pass this movie cheering for the pirates to stay alive and not die. So, if you know, it's kind of twisted, but it's true. And the third movie finishes, and so, okay, that's done. And then the fourth movie in the storyline does not happen right after the third film. A lot of years are supposed to gone by between those two films. Because why am I saying this? Because all of the people who went to the theaters and didn't know this were affairs like, why is Jack Sparrow's hair blonde? It's not that blonde, but it has blonde streaks on it. So that's because a lot of things happen. And Jack Sparrow, if you've seen pictures of Johnny Depp dressed as Jack Sparrow, you'll notice that he has dreadlocks and has a lot of things going on his costume, you know, things hanging from his belt and from his hair and his, you know, everything. He's really weird. He's a really striking image. So the movie doesn't happen right after the third one. Happens a lot of time later. And thank God, the best thing about the fourth movie is there's no Orlando Bloom in it. Thank God. But anyway, the story follows Jack Sparrow, and he's about to be involved in his next adventure. So the time has gone by, and Barbossa, who was the captain of the Pearl in the first one, he has resigned being a pirate and become a buccaneer. That's the same, just with the permission of the government. So he's like a pirate for the government. And so what the British Empire wants to do now is capture Blackbeard, you know, Blackbeard, because he keeps killing a lot of people and stuff. So that's where Penelope Cruz comes into picture, because she's supposed to be the daughter of Blackbeard. And if you haven't seen this movie, it's already out on Blu-ray and DVD. And by the end of it, this was supposed to be the last one, but Jerry Bruckheimer talked about two more movies. Of course, there were a lot of issues arising when the fourth movie came out, because for a little while, Johnny Depp backed out of the deal. But then there was a change in the Walt Disney Company, you know, organizations and stuff, and they got him back on the project. So after the movie, Johnny Depp was asked on one of the premieres if he'd do Jack Sparrow again. And he said, as long as the scripts are good and the people want to see Jack Sparrow, I'll keep on doing that. And so there are projects of two more movies coming up from Pirates of the Caribbean. Probably the last two, but nothing sure. So that's all the time we have for today. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you for listening. This is Camera Roll. Remember, every Monday from 4:30 to 6, only on radio.dominican.edu.
But why is the rum gone?
Next Monday, 5 to 6, for a new episode of Camera Roll.